Well, it is truly a privilege and a blessing to be with you guys. It's our privilege to be your missionaries to Madagascar. We do count it a joy and a blessing to be able to serve the Lord in the country of Madagascar and the village of Maintirano alongside with Richard and Charity. I would have never guessed when I was in college that the Lord would have blessed us with the ability to go join our friends from Bible College and join them in the ministry. It is really a blessing to be able to be in the middle of nowhere and have somebody that knows you from all the way back in college that's working beside you. I won't sugarcoat it. There are times where in the ministry you wonder, what in the world am I doing here? There are times of great blessing and great joy, and there's times of great frustration, but that's just life. We still live in a fallen world, and we're on the Lord's side, thankfully, and we know who wins in the end, but it's a battle right now. And I have been very encouraged this morning by how many people have come up and said, hey, we've been praying for you, we know what's going on. We have seen firsthand the result of you guys' prayers. Because truly this is the Lord's work, this is not our work. We are just tools in the Father's hand. Before we go into the message and sharing a little bit about what the Lord has been doing in Madagascar, let's go to the Lord in prayer and just ask that He would guide and direct. Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for Your grace that You do choose to use us. Lord, You desire to work through every Christian in this building. Lord, there is no big or small person in Your eyes, but Your grace is sufficient for our weakness. Your strength is made perfect. Lord, I pray that You would now speak to our hearts, speak to my heart. Lord, that You would help us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in 2011... We left for Madagascar, and I was ready to take Madagascar by storm. I had spent 3 years on deputation, 1 year in French language school, 5 years in Bible college, and it was about time. And so I was ready to hit the field of Madagascar and hit the ground running. And, you know, as a missionary, you make these presentations, you know, you see the airplane land and these hundreds of kids come running and everybody wants to hear the gospel, and the missionaries are just the most wonderful people in the world. Well, once you get on the field and you've been there about 2 weeks, you realize that's not exactly the case. In fact, you realize you're in the middle of a battle and that what you thought was so great about yourself isn't so great. And the Lord had to knock me down several notches, and He put us through a lot of things that did that quite effectively. And I had to realize that, Bobby, this is not your ministry. This is not Richard's ministry. This is the Lord's ministry, and the Lord's going to do His ministry how He desires to do it. And I will have to say, a lot of the things I thought were going to work the best were complete and utter flops. And a lot of things that I thought, Lord, are You sure about this? The Lord worked in marvelous ways. And I think it was the Lord's way of saying, Bobby, you're optional. I can do this with or without you. You know, so count your blessings that you're still here. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, there is the classic passage where Jesus is talking to the disciples. And verse 16, Peter gives the answer to that. You know, he says, Lord, You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter's thinking he's big stuff at that point. And a little bit later, the Lord has to knock him back down to size. But in verse 18, He says, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, referring back to the truth that Peter had just quoted, that Jesus was truly the Christ, the Son of the living God, on that truth, I, Christ, will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. A lot of times in the Christian life, in the Christian ministry, we feel like we're on defense. A lot of times in the mission field, with all the witchcraft, with all the false religions, with everything that's going around, you feel like you're just kind of hunkering down and trying to make it through the day. But the fact of the matter is, one, Christ said, I will build My church. It's Christ that's doing the work. But secondly, what is a gate? In Madagascar, we have gates all over the place. I have walls around my house. I have a big gate. When I go to bed, I lock all the gates. You know, we have stages of gates that we lock to lock ourselves in. A gate is a defensive mechanism. You know, have you ever seen a battle where they're like, oh dear, they're getting out the gates of hell. Watch out, they're coming for us. No. A gate is a defensive mechanism. And Jesus said, the gates of hell, their defenses will not prevail against me. You know what that tells me? Christ is on the offense. We're not sitting back here going, watch out, they're coming. Now, it's true, it's a battle. And Satan fights back. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus is victorious. And he says, I know what Satan's got, and that's not going to hold me back. This is the Lord's ministry. The Lord is building His church. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. And I'm sure most all of us probably know the context of Acts chapter 15. But in the early church, you know, in the beginning, it was a Jewish context. And then the Lord began saving Gentiles, and a lot of the religious Jews were going, what in the world? Now, in the Old Testament, it had been prophesied that the Gentiles would be saved, but in Acts chapter 15, verse 5, it says, and there rose up a certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. At that day, the very religious Jews, I mean, these would be the legalists of the legalists, said, whoa, okay, we understand these Gentiles are getting saved, but, you know, they need to follow these traditions that have been in place for years and years and years. And the Jews didn't know how to, really what to do with the Gentiles that were getting saved at that time. So they had the Jerusalem Council. And that's not the point of the message. But in verse 12 it says, and all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among them, wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. Who visited the Gentiles? God. God visited the Gentiles. And God was taking out of them a people for His name. Do we see a recurring theme here? It is God who is doing the work. And he says in verse 15, and to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. It's the Lord that's doing the work again. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. I read that verse and I thought, Lord, there were several times in the past 3 years where I thought, what in the world is going on? We originally had planned that when we would get to Maitorano, we would have about, you know, 3 to 6 months of overlap with Richard and Charity before they went on furlough. That way I could kind of ease into the culture, get to know the church a little bit better before I took over the work there. But with a whole host of things, with Abby's premature birth and other things going on, they had to leave sooner than we originally had planned. And so we had about a week and a half, 2 weeks of overlap before I was plunged into the ministry. And now understand, we had just finished about 6 to 7 months of Malagasy language training, which is not enough to be really fluent in Malagasy. So to have 6 months of Malagasy training, to move from the capital city to the middle of nowhere, and to be given a church, say, hey, here's what, I didn't know the names of the people in my church. I was over my head in a big way. And there were times where I thought, Lord, what in the world are you doing here? When Abigail was born premature, we thought, Lord, don't you realize they live in the middle of nowhere? You know, it's not like they can get in the car and go to the hospital. And now, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to be disrespectful in this, but in my humanness, I was thinking, Lord, what are you doing? I mean, really? I wouldn't have planned it that way, Lord. And the Lord said, Bobby, I'm in control. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. One thing I had to realize was the ministry in Madagascar, the ministry in the lives of each of the people that have come to Christ in the past few years, the ministry of missions is something that started long before me. And if the Lord tarries, it will continue long after I'm dead. I am just a small portion in that work. But known unto God are all of His works from the beginning of time. You know, when God created the earth, He knew who was going to get saved in Maitirano. He had a plan. There will be something that comes together in all this in the end. If you would turn to Romans chapter 12. I was afraid in Sunday school that my message was going to be stolen. But in Romans chapter 12, we have Paul talks about spiritual gifts. And just before we came back from Madagascar, we were going through the book of Ephesians. And we had to take several weeks to look at spiritual gifts because with all the different religions that come through Madagascar, there is great confusion on spiritual gifts. A lot of the religions that teach, you know, salvation by church membership and a whole bunch of other things, they really get these things mixed up. And so we had to take several weeks and just go down the list of spiritual gifts and explain them to our people. And it was kind of amazing to me how many people have never heard of it, much less knew what their spiritual gift was. And here in Romans 12, you sort of have the opposite of Acts chapter 15. In Acts chapter 15, the Jews are going, what do we do with these Gentiles? In Romans 11, Paul is more explaining what the plan of God, what he's doing with the Jews to more of a Gentile context. But he says in verse 34 of Romans chapter 11, for who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? Meaning, has any of you loaned to God and God owes you? No. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. I beseech you, therefore, based on what God has done to save you, the work that He's doing in your life, because of all that, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Lord has a purpose, a plan and a design for each and every one of us in His work. You see, since the beginning of the church, the Lord's desire was to use the church to spread the gospel through the world. A lot of times there's a misconception that ministry happens by the pastor, by the missionary, by the deacons. But that's not the Lord's plan. The Lord's plan and desire is to use each and every person. And then He goes on in the rest of chapter 12 to describe different spiritual gifts and how all these spiritual gifts work together as a body to do the work of the Lord. Now, your gifting is probably different than my gifting. My wife's gifting is different than my gifting. And one of the things I had to realize, something I knew in my head, but the Lord had to bring it down to a more practical level in my life, was the Lord uses different people in different ways. My gifting personally is more along the exhortation, teaching and preaching. I love being there and watching believers grow in their faith. I love coming along and helping, counseling, those type of ministries. Lalina, I know many of you have been praying for him. His gifting is more evangelism. The guy's an incredible evangelist. My gift is not evangelism. Do I do the work of evangelists? Oh, yes, for sure. We're commanded. Paul told Timothy to do the work of evangelists. But that's not my gifting. That's not my first place. When we first got there, I began working on the hangar, and because that really needed to be finished. And so a lot of my time during the week was being spent building the hangar. And I have to admit, it was a little frustrating because I thought, Lord, you know, I'm coming here to do ministry, you know, ministry. And I'm spending all my time doing construction. And it was really, it was difficult to prepare sermons and lessons and whatnot while I was spending so much time trying to finish this hangar. But it was, the hangar not being completed was hindering being able to do other work. So it was necessary. But then the Lord began working, and there were several guys that came and asked for work. And I said, sure, you show up in the morning and we'll give you work. And John Mark was one of those guys. Now, when John Mark came to me, he didn't want to have anything to do with church. He was the son of a witch doctor. His father had died 2 weeks after he started training John Mark to be a witch doctor. And at that time, many people came to John Mark and said, look, you need to go and start praying. You need to go to church because obviously there's big problems in your life. The spirits aren't happy with you, yada, yada, yada. So John Mark went and started trying different churches. In every church, he saw hypocrisy and things that didn't line up with what he was reading in the Bible. And he got frustrated and he started asking questions. And the Catholic Church actually kicked him out. They said, you ask too many questions. Go find another church. So when I came, he was done with church. He didn't want to speak of God. He said that stuff didn't help me at all. Well, after a few weeks, John Mark began asking questions and questions and questions. And I began just giving scripture as answers. You know, why don't we baptize infants? You know, and well, look what the Bible says. And he began opening up more and more and more and more. And I could see that the Holy Spirit was working on him. And I was starting to get excited and looking forward to the day when John Mark would possibly get saved. And then I had to go to the capital city for a week. And Alina comes along and speaks to John Mark for 2 hours, and John Mark gets saved. Now, the spiritual Christian would go, praise the Lord, John Mark is saved. But me, I said, Lord, I've been working 3 months on this guy. And I was so looking forward to being able to write a prayer letter of how I led somebody to Christ. And I go to the Capitol, and the guy comes in and talks 2 hours, and the guy gets saved. And it's like, what? Known unto God are all his works in the beginning of time. The Lord had taken me back to, you know, Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. God was using me to plant seeds and to water, and he used Alina to bring John Mark to Christ. And I had to be okay with that. See, God was using the body of Christ to take the gospel to a person, not just me, not just Joanna, but the body of Christ. And Alina, with his spiritual gifting evangelism, was able to communicate several things much more clearly than I could at that time, especially with my limited language ability back, because this was the beginning of our ministry there. And I had to be okay with that. Say, God, if you want to use Alana, if you want to use Charity, if you want to use Richard, if you want to use me, it's okay. You do your work. The problem is, a lot of times in the church, we look at somebody where God is using them and say, I want to be just like them. And we try and mimic somebody else's ministry. And God says, no, 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 no. They have a different gifting. I am using them in a different way. I have a ministry for you. I explain to my churches like this. When somebody in our church gets sick, a lot of times with my gift of exhortation, I'm thinking, what is the Lord trying to teach this person through this? Is there something God is stretching them? Because the Lord uses affliction in our life to stretch us and grow us. You know, how is God using? And a lot of times I come alongside in a way of counsel and encouragement and trying to help them grow. The evangelist in the church says, who in this situation is possibly not saved? Is this an opportunity to share the gospel? Both are important. Okay, both are needed. The person who has the gifts of service says, what meals can I make? Is there kids that need to be watched? Is there something I need to do to help this person? There's three different perspectives, three different giftings. All of them are needed. Well, there's actually a lot of different giftings here. But it's easy to look at some person and say, man, I can see God working in that and try and mimic that, but that's not our job at all. If you look in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, I believe it's verse 10. He says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Our gifting is a grace of God. Our abilities are because of the grace of God. And he goes on to speak about the different abilities in verse 11. But he says, in the middle of verse 11, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. That's the ultimate goal. God uses this person in the church to do one thing, this person in the church to do another, this person, and brings it all together. And in the end, God is glorified. And we have to be okay with that. Because sometimes we're glory hogs. And we say, hey, I want to do this and have everybody see and send the glowing prayer letter back of, hey, look, God used me to do this, 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 and this. But no, that's not what it is. It's the Lord's work. But I would ask you, what is your passion? What is your desire? Because a lot of times in that, you can see somewhat into your gifting. Just like I said in the illustration, when somebody gets sick, the person that has the gift of helps, their first passion and desire is to help the person. A lot of times the person who has the gift of evangelism, their first desire, their first passion is to share the gospel. What is your passion, your desire in church? Because it's easy to come into a very spiritually, vibrant church. I'm sorry, I've been preaching in Malagasy for the past 2 years and there's still words that don't come back in English. And just to kind of sit and let everybody around you do the work. But the Bible says, no, as every man hath received the gift, you have a stewardship. You have a responsibility individually. And if you are not being a good steward of the gift that God has given you, the church is not functioning to the capacity God has designed. Where is your passion? Where is your desire? Are you using that for God's glory? A guy came to me in my church and he said, hey, Pastor, I'd like to make a DVD, an evangelistic DVD. I said, praise the Lord, you go do that. Me, I have no desire to make a DVD. That is not my gifting or my ability. But you, all the more power to you. He had a talent and ability that I did not have. And as a pastor, that was one of the biggest blessings I ever had, is to have people in my congregation say, hey, look, I see this need. Can I help with it? Now, I see this need, Pastor. You really need to take care of that. I was just saying, Malagasy, ah, which is an emphatic no. If you see a need, say, hey, how can I help with this? How does God desire to use me in this? Second, where's your power? Back in Acts chapter 15, we already saw where it said, saith the Lord who doeth all these things. The power comes from the Lord. He's the one that's doing the work. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, there's the very familiar verse where Zerubbabel is building the temple and the Lord comes to him. And he says, Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Now, when you're building a temple, do you need construction workers? Well, yes. Do you need funds? Yes. Do you need physical manpower? Yes. But the Lord said, no, no, no. Don't trust in those things. They're necessary, but the work, the strength, comes from the Spirit of the Lord. God has stretched us in ways that I never would have imagined I would have been stretched. And God has done things through us that were beyond me. Not because I'm that great, but because His Spirit did something that was outside the realm of Bobby Burdett. Where's your power coming from? If you're trying to do somebody else's ministry that is not the ministry God has given you, you will be frustrated. If you're trying to do the ministry God has given you in your own strength and not the strength of the Lord, you'll be frustrated. But thirdly, patience. And this is the one that I don't like. But it's in the Bible, so I have to go by it. When we first got there, we started memorizing Scripture because they just didn't know Scripture. A lot of them couldn't read Scripture. They didn't have the Bible knowledge that we have here in the States a lot of times. So we started doing Scripture memory. We started with James chapter 1. And we got to verse 4. And if I was one of those people that only believe parts of the Bible and would take out what I didn't like, verse 4 would be one of those ones I'd take out. But the Lord put it there, and it's inspired Scripture, and it says, and in English it says what? Let patience have her perfect work. And in Malagasy, that's a very strong language, as well as in French, that it's not necessarily an option, but you must let this happen. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And so many times in the ministry, we come to something that's frustrating, and my patience is getting stretched, and the Lord says, Bobby, my patience have a perfect work. Say, Lord, no. I just let's just skip patience for today, maybe tomorrow. So many times, the thing God used was the last thing I expected. There were some doctors from the town that came to us. And we had built a relationship with the doctors because previously we had some Christian doctors that came. And they did a clinic in our town for about a week. And they would do free surgeries and whatnot, eye surgery, cataract surgeries, different things like that. And then we'd give the gospel to people that came through. And after the week of all these surgeries and whatnot, we really saw no results spiritually. And there were people that raised their hand and said they wanted to receive Christ, but there was no lasting fruit. It felt more like it was just there trying to make us happy. And to be honest, I was quite frustrated. I said, Lord, there was a lot of work that went into this week, a lot of preparation, a lot of logistics, a lot of time and energy. And where's the fruit? And there was in particular one man that came to me, and he was looking for a Bible with cross references because he really wanted to study the Bible and teach the people in the villages. And I didn't have one at the time. And in Madagascar, it's very hard to keep contacts with people because, you know, they'll write their address down to be like, go a block past the chicken coop and the big tree on the left, and there's a brown house. You know, you go looking for someone, you can't find them. We don't have addresses. And so I had lost contact with Pierrot. And I was a little bit frustrated in that week. I thought, man, that was a lot of time and energy, and we didn't see anything. Well, then months later, some doctors come to us from the relationships we had built with the local doctors there. And they said, hey, look, we're doing a vaccination clinics in the villages. We see you have a 4x4. Would you drive us around? And I thought, once again, I'm doing ministry. I don't have time to drive doctors around through the bush. You know, this is not exactly what I want to do. My days are full, but I prayed about it. And I felt the Lord said, Bobby, you should do this. I said, okay, Lord. Fine, I'll go. And I have to admit, I did not have the best attitude. I mean, this is a testimony to God's grace, okay? Because it wasn't because I, you know, had a great devotion that morning and I was going in the power of the Spirit. And I'm going down this road and it's really too narrow for my truck. And the brush is just tearing the paint up on the side of my truck. I'm going, man, this, what am I doing this vaccination clinic and doctors do vaccinations? I'm happy. And we get there, and they do the vaccinations, and they say, Robert here is the pastor. He's not going to preach to you. I said, what? I thought I was just the conduire, the chauffeur. And I said, Lord, I need help real quick right now. You know, what am I supposed to say? If I've been a good Christian, you know, I'll always be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. I wasn't ready at the moment. So I got up, and I said, look, you know, these doctors came to help you with your physical condition. I want to help you with your spiritual need. But I'm not ready right now. I did give a short gospel presentation. I said, but I'm not really, really ready to preach the way I'd like to. Could I come back? And they said, yes, please come back. Every village we went to, those doctors did that same thing. Now, these doctors are not saved. They're lost as a goose. But they gave me opportunity to preach in every village. And in one village, guess who I met? Piero. He says, I met you. I've been wanting to get back together with you. I have all these places that I need the gospel. Would you come help me? And it's like the Lord said, I told you I could use this. Through those 3 days of vaccinations, we have had more opportunities to get into areas and share the gospel than any other thing I've done in ministry. Like Lord said, Bobby, known unto God are all his works. You know, I'm sitting there driving down that road going, Lord, I am wasting my time. This truck is a resource to the ministry and it's getting tore up. And he said, no. It's okay. I got this covered. Through that ministry, there was a lady that got saved after probably 13 weeks of evangelism. We started in Genesis and just laid a foundation, went through the Old Testament prophets. We finally came to the cross. The lady starts laughing. And she refers back to in Genesis where it says, you shall bruise his heel, and his, and I can't remember it in English. Malagasy is different. But his heel shall crush, he shall crush your head. And we're talking about Christ crushing Satan's influence, okay? She starts laughing when we get to the cross. And we're making the correlation between Moses lifting up the serpent and Christ being lifted up on the cross. And she starts laughing. I'm thinking, what's so funny about this message? And she goes, I see it now. I see it. And we get done with the message, and I said, we don't ask for like people to raise hands, because a lot of people will do that just to make you happy. I said, if anybody wants to, is interested in accepting Christ as Savior, I'd love to talk with you after service. And she stood up, she said, I need to get saved now. And she comes to the pulpit, she says, let's pray. And she put her head down, and she went to town. She confessed how wicked her whole town was, but then she personally accepted Christ. And she came and she said, we've had all these prophets and apostles coming through our town. How do we know which ones are good and which ones are bad? And we had to have teaching on that. She said, in the end, she said, all those apostles, they're from the devil. Next time they come through, I'm going to say, you just keep moving. You're from the devil. You're not from God. I said, they call it Big Mama. That's a term of respect in Malagasy. Big Mama, you do that. You can get away with that. I can. But now, in a village in the middle of nowhere, there's a grandmother who's saved. Because months earlier, I had a bad attitude, but I said, okay, Lord, I'll drive these doctors. And through a series of a whole bunch of things, the Lord did a work in this woman's life. It's easy to look at the book of Acts and say, wow, look at all God did. And then look at your own life and go, I'm not seeing much. We have to realize, one, God was working for years through the book of Acts. And sometimes we don't see the results when we expect to see them. But if we trust God and are faithful with what He tells us to do each day, one day, maybe not here on earth, maybe once in heaven, we'll see the results. And God will receive the glory. We just have to be patient and trust that God knows what He's doing. He's the one that's doing the work. And He started this work long before us, and it will continue after us. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of time. Where's your passion? Are you using the gifts and abilities that God has given you to minister here in this local body, to minister to your friends and neighbors, to minister to those around you? Secondly, where's your power? Are you trusting the Holy Spirit and depending upon Him to do in you what you cannot do yourself? And thirdly, be patient. There will be days where you think, what in the world is going on? But God is still doing the work. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for who You are.